Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has experienced teams who can craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex. Real wealth requires real solutions. Connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com.
Welcome to Hard Currency, the weekly podcast from the Financial Times, looking at the stories making the running in the foreign exchange market. I'm Roger Blitz, and this week is very much a continuation of last week, which was dominated by the sell-off in emerging markets and the state of play in US trade tensions with, nearly everybody, plus the news that Donald Trump has decided to pull out of the summit with North Korea next month. So how are investors trading these emerging market risks, and when's the right time to return to them, if return? Return is the right strategy. Our guest this week is Yelan Sizdikov, Global Head of Emerging Markets at the European Asset Manager Amundi. First off, Yelan, how long have you been trading in emerging markets?
I've been trading emerging markets for nearly 25 years
Okay. Now,
and I've been involved in sovereign, corporate, FX, so pretty much all around.
So this particular sell-off feels what compared to previous EM sell-offs?
It looks like what we've seen before, obviously with a more mature asset base and client base that we have in emerging markets, clearly, but also with a lot more what we call a tourist money around, which really creates volatility.
Just give me give listeners a feel of Amundi's strategy towards investing in EM, just the broad tenets, if you would.
Generally, we invest in a flexible way in emerging markets. So this is the way we believe is the best way to approach emerging markets. Clearly, we have some clients who prefer to be indexed. So we run it against different benchmarks on the equity sides run by MSCI. On the fixed income side, we have typically indices which are run by JP Morgan, SEMBI and MB indices. We still espouse what we call a flexible approach, where we believe that the value is not necessarily found in the index, so we can go in off the index easily and find the opportunity to invest.
Give me an idea of a kind of a contrarian investment you'd be doing.
Well, I think we've been quite early on invested in Nigeria, where a lot of investors had their doubts that the country can make it. Clearly, we've been also helped by what's happening on the oil side. But even before then, I think Nigeria already is showing signs of improvement. So that's probably one of the areas where we still would put more money in today.
A lot of focus this week, Yelan, is on Turkey. A fall of about 8% in just 2.5 days and an emergency central bank meeting. With 25 years experience in EM, how unusual have you found this week?
Not really unusual at all. So we've seen Turkey, being in crisis. We had a banking crisis there. We had a crisis of confidence before. Turkey has last time when we had the taper tantrum one, we had a situation again when Turkey was part of what we called Fragile Five, one of those countries that have a current account imbalances that are evident now. So that's not really something new. Completely same story with some of the countries, and Turkey is not an exception.
Okay. You're invested in Turkey.
As an emerging market guys, we have to be invested in Turkey. So yes, clearly we follow Turkey. We have to be invested. We at the moment are cautiously looking at Turkey cautiously. We don't think yet it's the right time to be fundamentally bullish on Turkey. But clearly there are opportunities on a tactical basis, maybe looking at certain pockets of value in Turkish assets, which one can make a case for.
The Turkish lira nearing five against the dollar. Yesterday was the right time to actually go long in the Turkish lira, wasn't it? It bounced 7%.
Yes. Obviously, today we're seeing a reversal of that to an extent, indeed. Because, of course, you're pushing out some of the shorts, or squeezing the shorts, as they say in the market. But clearly, the direction is still negative in the sense that we need to see a more fundamental change in the picture.
Yeah, I mean, very hard in amongst so many negative headlines about Turkey to remember why investors have been and may even still be positive about Turkey. What is the case?
Well, if you were there when Erdogan was actually last week, we had lunch with him. Actually,
oh,
I had
an
honor to be
lunch.
Around these 20 people who had lunch
right.
with him, so I'm not bragging about it, but the opportunity was there to address those questions. Ah. What is so special
tell
about
us,
Turkey?
Tell us what was he asked?
Clearly, we had 7.4% growth last year, which is kind of a beating China.
Yeah.
So you wouldn't think that Turkey is in a position to do so. Clearly, we had discussed ways of improving, let's say, macroeconomic management in mm-hmm. Turkey. And one of the issues clearly is central bank independence. I think investors got a little bit worried about the plans of consolidating more power on macroeconomic policies in the presidential administration. Mm-hmm. Especially that's kind of the view that Erdogan, I think, is espousing. So the idea here, you had a pillar which was clearly growth, which was fueled by credit growth.
Yes.
And it probably is not very sustainable. And the second pillar, of course, was the very prudent fiscal policy, which now investors believe is starting to change.
Okay.
So what you need to do is to ensure that you will bring back that fiscal policy sustainability, if you want.
Two questions I want to ask you,
sure.
Leon. At the lunch, did he sound like he was listening to your concerns?
Well, I can't really be too specific about what has been said around lunch because we've been clearly told not to. So
okay.
I'll be breaking those rules. So we'll never be invited to those sort of meetings.
I appreciate that. But as a consequence of what has happened from the central bank on Wednesday, raising rates, I suppose you would argue that he probably was listening.
I believe that he's being pushed hard against the wall. So in this kind of situation, yes, if he's being told by some of the senior members in his cabinet that this is the only way to ensure that Turkish lira does not depreciate further, and it's a probably very important point in time for him to keep Turkish lira more stable than not, given that we have elections coming up. So probably that is a political decision, if you want, that goes against his true belief that interest rates needs to be actually lower. So one of the problems that investors have is that the belief that Turkish lira can only appreciate if interest rates were brought down, which is, I guess, in a normal environment, you may follow the logic of Erdogan in the sense that, yes, you bring the cost of borrowing down, you will stimulate credit growth in the economy, and that will grow the economy, and therefore, as a consequence, currency will strengthen. But this is kind of in a peacetime sort of policies. Turkey is not in a peacetime. This is kind of a wartime.
Okay.
You need to change that.
Interesting to compare Turkey with Argentina. Lots of measures taken by Argentina, talking to the IMF, the investment done by Franklin Templeton and others, which suggests that investors may be more willing to give Argentina the benefit of the doubt, whereas with Turkey, it feels that even this rate rise just may be too little too late. Is that a fair comparison?
Well, there's obviously similarities and differences between the two. One similarity is that the top macroeconomic policymakers are all willing to resign, and they have their resignation letters on the table for with the presidents of each country that have been rejected. So this is, I guess, one of the similarities. But jokes aside, obviously, we have a situation where the current account imbalance is actually putting pressure on both countries on the currency side. And the difference comes here in a way that Argentina has been really running a very loose fiscal policy and very tight monetary policy. Turkey has been exactly the opposite, interestingly enough. And the reason that investors are now becoming worried about Turkey is that the fiscal side is starting to give a little bit and to go in the opposite direction. Therefore, we're becoming a little bit more worried. But both countries also have a big similarities that the relative stock of debt is not really significantly oversized, if you want. So it's not really that will bring the sustainability of the debt matrix in question. It's just really a current account issue for both countries. So we're not talking about Brazil, where you know debt to GDP is 80%, and nobody really knows whether the country will reform its pension system or not. You know, we failed to see, or they failed to actually deliver that in the past. But here we have a set of macroeconomic policies which failed also to convince investors that we're on the right track, both in Argentina and Turkey.
Okay. Two final, very quick questions. One, is it fair to say, having spent so much of this podcast talking about Turkey, Argentina that we're not worried about contagion in the broader EM world?
I wouldn't say it's a broader contagion, but given the fact that we have a confluence of factors, and in this instance, I will say large economies like Brazil and Mexico are going to elections. In Mexico, we have a threat, a very significant one, of a big regime change, if you want. We have AMLO, who potentially will win these elections, and he might change macroeconomic policies for Mexico. That's one thing. And Brazil is a big elephant in the room. And I already mentioned 80% debt to GDP and lack of reform zeal, if you want, from the politicians. And you have a more urgent problem there than in Argentina or Turkey.
Okay. And the final question, because I did talk in the intro about trade issues, US, China and Trump. It's strange how actually we were worrying about those things a few months ago. We're now not really talking about that much. But is it possible that these can come back to complicate life for emerging markets? And actually, when you look at their fundamentals, it's trade that remains still very, very important. And we still haven't really seen how this US protectionism will play out.
Well, absolutely, absolutely. It's changing in a more simplistic way. If you look at the emerging world, emerging countries benefited from globalization. Yeah. If you believe that protectionism has a chance to reverse globalization, that will hurt emerging markets eventually, because trade is the channel through which we had a significant amount of wealth creation for emerging world. So yes, indeed, it will be a very dangerous if we have the prevailing policies in the US or in the world going towards protectionism.
Excellent. My thanks to Yolan Sizhnikov of Amundi. Join us again next week for Hard Currency. The likelihood is emerging markets will still be dominating the agenda, but who knows? We may get round to talking about the euro, the yen, the pound, maybe. Find out next week. But until then, from Hard Currency, it's goodbye.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has experienced teams who can craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex. Real wealth requires real solutions. Connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.